You're listening to the Circularity Capital podcast, where we explore the trends that are enabling the transition to a circular economy. You'll hear from Circularity Capital partners, company executives, and other experts as we investigate how we can leverage capital and insight to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. In this series of the Circularity Capital Insights podcast, we're going to explore why the circular economy is increasingly being seen as a powerful framework for regenerative economic growth and how investors are developing specialist strategies to drive value in this space. In the first of our five-part series on investing in the circular economy, I spoke to Antonia Goel from the World Economic Forum's PACE initiative. Let's have a listen. Antonia, thanks so much for joining us on this podcast episode.
Happy to be with you.
So I wanted to ask you, what is actually driving governments, corporations, and investors to look at the circular economy as a framework for future growth?
So I would probably highlight three key reasons that really all the different stakeholders are increasingly looking at the circular economy. One is the opportunity really that's embedded in the circular economy from an economic perspective, right? So at least Accenture has estimated about $4.5 trillion of untapped opportunity between now and 2030, just by being much more effective and efficient in the way that we utilize the natural resources that are currently passing quickly through our system and thinking about new business models and approaches to managing resources, really. So there's a huge economic opportunity to be had is really one reason why suddenly there's kind of an awakening to this. And I think one of the reasons that we've seen growing traction is also that now we have a lot more technologies that are enabling us to find new ways of managing, tracking, creating service-based business models to actualize the circular economy as well. So the combination of the economic opportunity, but actually the technology capability that we have now to be able to do it is really opening up a new era. The second, I think, is also the connection with natural resources and climate change. So, you know, really over the past year, we have seen an incredible and positive ramp up in focus and attention around the importance of tackling climate change as a really systemic threat of our time. And what that then results in is that companies and governments and others look at the root causes of climate change. One of those root causes is, of course, the natural resources that we are extracting and then again, really passing quickly through our economy. You know, about half of CO2 emission mitigation will come from that area, right? So from the extraction processing of natural resources, by managing that better, we can actually significantly reduce climate emissions. And when you look at sort of the projections in growth or expected growth in natural resource extraction, you know, the International Resource Panel has projected that if we keep going the way that we're going to double the extraction of natural resources to hit about 190 billion tons by 2060. So if you're in parallel trying to hit your climate objectives, as you're trying to kind of lower that dependency on natural resources, the circular economy suddenly becomes really a means to an end. So how can you use the circular economy as an approach, a tool to rethink the way that you manage resources to one, as I said, economic opportunity, but also as a key tool to climate change mitigation in a space where we keep extracting and demanding more. So I would say, yeah, climate change is given another push to the circular economy agenda over the past year. And then I think, you know, a third is really actually consumers increasingly, I would say, waking up to the fact that they don't necessarily want to see, you know, the climate impacts that they're seeing be the waste also that they're seeing. So, you know, the classic example that we're all well aware of now is plastics. And, you know, through an incredible, I would say, confluence of visual campaigns, information campaigns that, you know, really there has been an incredible global movement around recognizing that the linear economy for plastics just doesn't make any sense. And so consumers really, I think before, in that case, before corporations and governments woke up to demand a different approach to how we treat the resources and the environment as well. And that's now manifested itself in quite a huge amount of momentum and shift around plastics. But equally, you know, I think we need to continue that into other areas like fashion, electronics as well. And that shift in consumer demand obviously does have an impact on the way that governments and corporations behave as well in terms of their focus and strategies. So, you know, there's many more examples, but I think those are probably the three that come to mind at the moment.
Thank you very much, Antonia. So Antonia, what is driving governments, corporations, and investors to look at the circular economy as a framework for future growth?
Thanks, Jamie. I would say that there are really three kind of key reasons at the moment why the circular economy continues to be a priority, in particular in the current context. So one is that there is really an underlying economic opportunity for the circular economy. Accenture has estimated about $4.5 trillion opportunity between now and 2030, really by rethinking the way that we use our natural resources to be much more efficient, effective, but also transform, you know, company business models as well, to be able to tap into different ways of kind of deriving value from services, for example, rather than relying on natural resources strictly. The second that then connects to as well is really the ramping up in focus and attention around climate change, right? So what we've seen, I think, in a very positive shift is a huge amount of, you know, pressure, but also then seriousness taken around tackling climate change as a systemic challenge of our time. And what that then leads to is looking at the root cause of climate change. And a big proportion of that is resulting from the extraction and processing of natural resources. That accounts for about half of CO2 emissions today. So obviously, if you can really change the rate of extraction of resources and decouple that from economic growth, then you start to really have a strong impact on climate change. You know, if you just look at the trends, this has to be part of the strategy. At the moment, the IRP is projecting that by 2060, natural resource extraction is expected to more than double to 190 million tons. So again, if you want to hit your climate objectives, natural resource, a transformation in the way that we manage, use natural resources has to be part of that equation. And that's where the circular economy really becomes a tool to be able to achieve that objective. Again, rethinking the way that we provide services rather than doing that through a use of reliance on natural resources, recovering and reusing a lot of those materials rather than going to upfront natural resource extraction. So climate change, I would say, is an important driver. And the third is around customers. Consumer demand is shifting. And plastics is definitely an example of that. I think everybody now has seen the challenges that single-use plastic is placing on the environment. And really before the corporations and the governments had awoken to this as a reality and something that wasn't desirable, consumers had. So really the push from consumers up back to the companies and governments has in a positive way forced a transformation in the way that, you know, how we properly use plastics in the economy is changed.
Thank you, Antonia. And Antonia, what do you see as the role of finance in the transition towards the circular economy?
The finance is, of course, critical because it plays a very influential role in supporting, on one hand, the new innovative solutions that are trying to push forward the circular economy, but also, let's say, sort of disincentivizing perhaps the approaches that are perhaps less desirable. And I think it's really pushing on those two sides of the equation that finance has a role to play. So one, not investing in areas that, for example, might contribute to exacerbating natural resource extraction, impacts on the environment, you know, contributing to climate change. So there's an important role for vetting against, let's say, some of those types of investments on one hand. On the other, as I flagged, how do you enable the circular economy innovators, solutions through supportive financial mechanisms as well? So yeah, for me, it's really those two sides of the equation. And I think there is, at least from what I can see, a very positive trend to more interest in supporting the circular economy, with funds being launched, BlackRock, DeKalb, Polly and others, deliberately trying to channel investment into businesses that are supporting a circular economy transition, as well as a disinvestment in some of those harmful approaches as well. I think one interesting thing about circular economy and finance is that it does, because in some ways the circular economy is really a different way of operating, it also requires the financial sector to kind of treat risk a little bit differently as well. Right. So if you take the example of a service-based business model, obviously it becomes quite asset heavy. And therefore, the investors in the finance community needs to kind of understand that and understand the positive and maybe, positive aspects of that, but also the challenges that it might, they might perceive it to overlay against a sort of traditional kind of, let's say, sell through quickly business model, which might be a more traditional approach. So, in that sense, there's both a positive need and opportunity to support and invest some of these innovations, but also a reevaluation, I suppose, of traditional assessments that might take place when you're looking at a circular economy business model, because these models are quite different and disruptive. And so there's some work perhaps to be done there.
Thank you, Antonia. So Antonia, I'm aware that the World Economic Forum has played a kind of leadership role in helping to accelerate the transition towards the circular economy since probably about 2012. Be really fascinating to hear from you what current initiatives the forum is working on now and kind of how those are helping to make this transition.
Yeah, no, thanks, Jamie. So, at the World Economic Forum, we are, as an organization, the International Institution for Public-Private Collaboration. So really the mindset and approach that we take to all of the issues that we work on is really how do we bring business, government, and other stakeholders together to really progress the areas and issues that we strive to support. And the circular economy, of course, is one of those because, as I mentioned, it is really a strategy that can help us tackle so many other issues from climate change to environmental impacts, as well as deriving really positive economic outcomes for business and government. So it's really, I think, core to some of the mission that we have at the organization. So how we do that is at the moment really through three key, I would say, areas. So one is through driving leadership and commitments. So we launched in 2017 the platform for accelerating the circular economy. And really the impetus for that was that while the circular economy at that time was kind of gaining traction and interest and more understanding from stakeholders, on one hand, the companies recognized that they couldn't progress it on their own because they needed changes in government and policy frameworks to be able to, for example, make it competitive to use recycled content versus virgin content because the economics just kind of don't work in some cases. So we needed a space to bring the business leaders, the governments, as well as the other expert organizations together to push things forward, right? So to move the agenda forward, we really needed that collaborative platform. And then, so that's the leadership piece. The second piece is how does that then manifest itself through different material value chains? So electronics, plastics, food, fashion, textiles. If you start to kind of unpack these value chains, you can really make progress in moving that circular economy transition forward. So for example, we launched in 2018 the Global Plastics Action Partnership. And this was really about how do you translate the government commitments, the business commitments and targets that have been set into real investable plans in places. So we work very actively in Indonesia, in Ghana, work kicking off in Vietnam to really, again, bring those stakeholders together in the marketplace to be able to help achieve the targets that are being set, because you need a whole lot of data, information, investment, policy changes to actually make that a reality. So that's the sort of second piece is around value chain transformation. And similarly, we're doing work in electronics and in China and globally with a lot of the different electronics players as well. And then the third pillar, I would say, of work is around innovation, right? So we have quite a strong strategic focus on, what we term the fourth industrial revolution. How can new technology innovation play a role in helping us accelerate the circular economy transition? So we launched a program called Scale 360 last year, which is really about how do you surface innovative solutions, entrepreneurs around the world, right? So not just in kind of, let's say, the usual pockets, but in countries around the world, you know, surface these innovators, innovations who are trying to progress the circular economy, support them, and then connect them into the global ecosystem and to the different stakeholders that they need access to be able to move their innovations forward as well. So I think, you know, through those three areas, that focus on leadership, kind of transforming value chains, and then supporting innovation, we hope that we can help move this agenda forward. I think recognizing again that, yes, the circular economy is now part of the vernacular. People know what it means, but it's still not moving, right? So we still are not progressing. We're not the data in terms of how circular are we in the world. So that's where really we need to kind of focus on those tangible impacts at the end of the day.
Thank you, Antonia. Antonia, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and providing your insight from your work at the forum.
Thank you, Jamie, and it's a pleasure.
That was Antonia Goel of the World Economic Forum PACE Initiative. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As always, you can find more information at circularitycapital.com or get in touch with us at info@circularitycapital.com. For more information on the World Economic Forum, head to weforum.org. Thanks for listening. See you next time.